Today on a dark and chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, did this young woman come face to face with a demonic presence in her preteen years? Nearly 10 years after her frightening encounters, she is still left wondering, just how close did she come to experiencing evil itself? From shadowy apparitions, disconnected voices, and the feeling of pure dread, she fears it may have been satanic. And now she wonders, is it still hiding in the shadows, waiting for the right time to strike again? That story and much more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, we invite you to become an extra podcast person. That's where you get access to all the bonus episodes of the show, new ones every single week, advanced episodes, the archive. It's all commercial free. You can binge away on it. Your children will thank you. Your pets will also love you more. And Santa will return to your home this year if you become an EPP at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, hey, Tony.
Hey.
I know this show doesn't air until, I don't know what, like 2026? No, maybe like June or something?
July. No, we're in June. We're in July. The date on this is July 12th. So happy post 4th of July, everybody. We're on the downward slope to the end of summer.
Leave it to Tony to bring everybody down. No, the reason I say that, in real life, in our time right now, I get to see you on Friday.
Yeah.
I'm going to a concert in your town. And that'll be, I think, the first time we've seen each other for
since
3 years.
The birth of Christ.
That's over 2,000 years. I thought it felt like a long time, but I didn't realize it'd been
truly what it was.
2,022 years.
What did I see you last? I saw you. Was the last time I saw you when we did the show at?
I think so.
I think it probably was because then like COVID started up like a few months after.
I know.
Yeah. Nope. That probably was it.
About 3 years.
It has been almost three years.
Harper for 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll be surprised. She's gotten shorter, which is really weird.
Think of her from someone who's short. I won't notice it.
She's like the size of like a G.I. Joe now. It's Disney is considering optioning the movie of My Little Harper. That's really, she can get a little mic for her every day. And that's how she sounds like so big, but it's just a weird thing.
My Little Harper. And I mean My Little Harper.
My Little Harper. That would be like, the thing is, that concept would have totally been like a perfect 1986 television concept that someone pitched, or there's at least a pilot for. And just absolutely horrible production.
It's going to be a great idea. Everybody's going to love it. She'll be just tiny and cute. Gosh. And precocious.
You know, I bet that could be one we could start a rumor on. Like, was it Shazam, which didn't exist? That's the one, the Sinbad one. Or it really didn't exist, where it's like Kazam. And they could probably like start a rumor on this. Like, remember that TV show where there was that, and you just do that concept. And it sounds like familiar enough, but I don't think it ever really happened.
I think it's pretty funny.
We could start a urban legend. This is our chance, Carol. We need to do it.
Well, you got to do it to where it launches on April Fool's Day, but you don't say that. And then you'd like just go on Tuesday, it's going to launch after you've been talking about it for like 3 months.
Make it like a fake CBS promo or something.
Did that. I think I've talked about it on the show before. When I was working at a rock radio station, we did that, and we did this big Irv's Amusement Park was opening. And we ran promos for it for like 2 months.
Yeah.
And like they were, but I wrote all of the promos. So the thing is that I knew every single one of them was not possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of them, you would go, you'd start the ride and you would drop down like, 10 stories below the ground, and then this rocket jet fueled blow, whatever, blah, 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 would shoot you up into the air. Like you, it's like you're on a rocket. And if you listen to the promos, like it's not even possible this yeah. ride could exist.
Yeah.
Like you would blow up and and people were like, oh my God, I can't wait to go to Big Irv's. And so they kept saying, when's Big Irv's going to open? We're like, it's opening Saturday and whatever. And so finally it gets ready to open.
Yeah.
And we're like, it had been raining. Mm-hmm. So about a week before or 2 weeks before we started it, it's like, oh, it rained. They're laying the parking lot at Big Irv's and they can't lay the parking lot because all of the rain. So what we're going to do is we've got a shuttle. So meet us at the Wendy's parking lot. There's plenty of parking because it is at this old strip mall. Mm-hmm. Plenty of parking, and we'll shuttle you to Big Irv's. So people are like, awesome. So we had, I am not shitting you, easily 300 people show up to go to Big Irv's Amusement Park. And we had t-shirts made up.
Yeah.
And we actually, I think we only had like 250 shirts made up, and we ran out. And it was like, I survived Big Irv's Amusement Park. April Fool's Day, whatever, 19, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so I remember, and most of them were like, oh, you're fucking with me. And we're like, yeah, we've been fucking with you for like 2 months. And so, but it was funny because this one girl, she gets her shirt and she kind of awkwardly laughs. She's with a group of friends. And then she comes back over and I thought she's going to ask for another shirt.
Yeah.
She goes, no, but really, when does it open? Like, an April Fool's Day joke. It never existed. It's like, there's no such thing.
Yeah.
But we ran, oh my gosh, for probably 2 weeks to a month leading up to it, we ran promos every hour. Like I wrote probably 12 different promos for Big Irv's.
I love it.
Yeah.
Totally love it.
They believed it. Yeah. Like 100%.
God. Yeah. I think really people in as a whole are not the brightest when it comes to satire.
And I think because we'd been talking about it so long that it didn't feel like an April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
It just sounded like the most awesome amusement park rides ever.
I had that character that I'd have on my show. And eventually I had to stop doing it because people believed it was real too. It was Stands on the Bay. And it was this guy who would call in and it was like, cause our station then did, a lot of like restaurant. It was very folksy. Like you got to call the car dealership. You got to call the guy that owns the Pomida or whatever. And, you know, and you're literally doing these, you know, very, very old school style ads. And I created a fake one for a restaurant called Stands on the Bay. A, there are no bays in Wichita, Kansas. And there are no lakes that you can see the sun setting on anywhere in Wichita, Kansas. And the directions would always change whenever you'd ask about it. Like, oh, or just north of 96 or like, you know, just south. Of, you know, it's all these different stories every time. And he would come on and do different weird specials and things. And people would start to believe it. And then there was one I did where the Nintendo Wii was a big thing. And Stan said, just come on down to the restaurant and it was like, all you got to do is like have a steak. And then then I'm going to ask, it was like the requirements kept getting crazier and crazier all the way to the point of like, and then I'm going to ask if, you know, maybe I can see mom in Stan's office for a little bit. And then, you know, I would go on and tell him how horrible, like, what are you doing? All that. It was all to get a Wii. Stan was like trying to like eventually like seduce like the wife of whoever comes in to get a Wii or to give her a Wii. And somebody showed up or tried to go to this restaurant. They told their son they were going to get a Wii and it didn't exist. It was not real. And so they called our GM up and said that I had promised to give away a Wii or something on the, I mean, nothing made sense. Like what they were saying, I said like was nothing and we had everything on tape, but the GM still went ahead and got them a Wii for being ignorant fucks. So that was my story of creating something that doesn't exist and people believing it.
Well, at least in our case, like, everybody believed it, but nobody did anything about it.
Yeah.
Like now they would probably sue you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. Because that's what they did. They threatened to sue us, back then, and that they threatened to sue the radio station. And so to make it go away, they bought them the fucking Wii. I get it, but at the same point, like, seriously, I thought I was going to get fired, but no, that was over a Christmas break. So like the whole fucking holiday, I was like, oh my God, am I still have a job?
In the GM's office the entire holiday.
Yeah, it was just good times. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us as I try to get the text here big enough for me to read because I'm slowly going blind. Hello, Tony, family and friends. Back when I was young, I had an encounter with something I can only describe as a dark, almost demonic presence. I'll start with a bit of a backstory on the location where the experience happened and my history with the paranormal. My aunt and cousins had moved into a small townhouse in Central Florida in what I believe was 2009. Due to all the negative energy around them, they always had something around them, though nothing ever harmful until now. Shortly after they moved into this house, strange things began happening. Started with simple activity, cabinets opening, closing, shadowy apparitions, lights flickering, you know, the usual haunting stuff. This went on for about 3 years. Then things started to get truly intense. The entity started pushing people down the stairs, sitting on my family members' chests. I've always been an energy-sensitive person. I had a near-death experience at birth, which I believe to be the reason for my spiritual sensitivity. As I was growing, I recall something being in my childhood home that used to terrify me. I was able to hear people talking when no one was there, etc. Now that the history is out of the way, we can get into the terrifying day. It was in spring of 2011, and I was 12 years old. My mom and I planned to go visit my aunt and cousins to go swimming at their community pool. We get there, go swimming, and then return to the house. I never liked being inside the home, so I proposed my three cousins and I go outside and play in the front yard. Everything was normal for a couple of hours while we were playing. Eventually, we decided to start climbing the tree there, and that's when something caught my attention. Glanced up to my middle cousin's window because I caught a glimpse of something moving. When my eyes made contact with the window, I saw a dark shadow in the shape of a person just standing there, as I felt like it was staring right at me. Logically, I asked my three cousins if they saw it too, and they did. So being the smart preteen I was, I told them to come with me to check it out. Of course, we go inside, head upstairs to the room. We saw the figure standing in. What had we found? Nothing. We decided to go back outside, look back up at the window. For a couple of minutes, nothing was there. And then it showed up again. We repeated our investigation only to get the same result. At this point, my mom and aunt had decided that they were going to get lunch and we needed to stay inside. The four of us children went back downstairs to watch TV in the living room. Now, keep in mind that connected to the wall that was adjacent to the TV had a closet with those terrible wooden accordion doors that are painful to open. Let us say this is on the north wall and the couch was on the south wall. I'll try to attach a floor layout better to describe what I saw. We're relaxing, watching whatever show was on Cartoon Network, when we saw something flying around the room. It was a large wasp. Logically, we all started to freak out. This went on for a couple of minutes before it finally decided to land. It landed on the wall next to that horrible closet. Being the eldest of the four, and forcibly volunteered, I got up with my flip-flop to kill it. I prayed the entire 15-foot journey from the couch to the wall that it wouldn't come at me and sting me. Finally, I approached it and tried to smack it with a flip-flop. I did so three times in rapid-fire action, yelling at the wasp, "Die! Die! Die!" with each smack of my shoe. On the third strike, the wooden accordion door flew open with much ease. And keep in mind, it was a struggle to open. I immediately froze and turned my head to see inside the closet. I saw a large shadow figure standing in the furthest corner. This thing was darker than dark, and the feeling I was feeling was pure dread. I've seen figures in the past, been touched by something unseen. Nothing had ever scared me so badly. I felt like I was facing a person who wanted to murder me. Pure terror. I stared at it for what seemed like forever, and then it rushed towards me and through my body. It felt like ice shooting through my body. I thought I was going crazy. My cousins hadn't seen that figure in the closet, and the only saw the door fly open. Luckily, about 10 minutes later, our parents returned and I left shortly after eating. To this day, I still haven't opened up to my mom about what happened or why I wanted to leave so quickly. I only felt that same fear one other time in my life. In March of 2017, I was sleeping peacefully when something woke me up. I felt that same feeling of pure dread. Felt the entity standing over me and looking at me. I didn't dare open my eyes then. I just pulled my pillow over my head and turned back to the entity and waited till I fell back asleep. Whatever it was a demonic entity or just a truly dark spirit, I do not know. I've always questioned how I managed to fall back asleep and honestly do not know. But I do know that since that first encounter, I've always felt a darker presence around. Thank you all for reading my story. I love you guys and wish you all the best. Thoughts on that?
Kind of makes me sad that this whole time that person has felt this dark presence around them.
Yeah.
Like that's just, do you think it could just be because the initial incident was so scarring that maybe, because when you're really, really scared, there's a PTSD that goes with it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know? I don't know, but I just hate the idea of somebody feeling like there's a dark presence everywhere.
Hmm. I think there are dark presences everywhere. I think there's good presence. I think it's like a big mix of everything. I just think some people are more attuned to one side or the other.
Sure. But still, there's got to be a way to get past that.
Yeah.
And I've had that happen to me before where... never in my home. The worst time it ever happened to me was I was in a hotel in Washington, D.C., and my sister was in the bed next to me. I was so scared I couldn't even say anything to try to wake her up because I was like, if I open my eyes, it's right there. It's right there. And I laid there. I was so terrified. I never fell back to sleep. And so I was just waiting. I'm like, certainly the sun will start coming up at some point. And once the sun comes up, things will be better. And then my sister, like, she sleeps like a freaking log. And I'm like, okay, so did you feel anything weird last night? No, nothing. I'm like, okay, I was up all night. There was something in the room with us. I don't know what it was. But that's it. And maybe the things aren't even connected. You know,
sometimes they're not. I mean, sometimes
I think what I felt that night in that hotel mm-hmm. had nothing to do with the haunted house I lived in or the haunted house that wasn't a haunted house I lived in.
Yeah,
and it wasn't. But I had weird things happen to me in that house. I don't think any of the things that I've experienced in my life are necessarily connected. So maybe, you know, if you connect it in your brain, maybe you should be more like, you know, I don't think those things are connected at all. Maybe there really isn't a dark thing following me. Maybe I just encounter dark things from time to time.
And that's what I think happens more times than not. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I'm just trying to make that person feel better. I just don't want him or her to like have that feeling all the time. That'd be horrible.
Yeah. It would. It would pull you down emotionally in many other ways as well.
Right. So.
Thank you for sharing that story. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi, Tony and everyone. My name is Jess. I am from South Carolina. I'm a listener. I love the show. I am going to tell you one of my stories that I've written in before, and it was a long time ago. So I guess I'll get started. This is the time about my sister. She bought her very first house and was moving in with a group of friends. I think there were about four or five girls all living in the same little home. And this is kind of a weird one. I've always been a little bit sensitive. On the way to me coming to this house for the first time, I already knew a little bit of what it looked like based off of what she said. You know, it was an older brick home, and where it was situated, it was right next to a church. So on the right side was the home. There was a big fenced-in backyard with complete with a treehouse and everything. It was very quaint. But on the left side is the church and their, it wasn't a graveyard, but kind of like a memorial yard in the back of the church. And they're literally right next to each other. The same driveway, you would go in and break off to the right to go to the house, and break off to the left to go into the church parking lot. So I wanted to kind of prep a sensitive, and I already had kind of a weird feeling about the location. Nothing I could put my really finger on, just kind of like an uneasy feeling. And it could have just been that it was a weird thing to be right next to a church, at a memorial yard. But anyway, so I'm on my way to see my sister's place. I've got some of her things with me. And as soon as I turn onto the road that this home is off of, I immediately start experiencing a panic attack. I don't get panic attacks. They're not very usual for me. I said I'm sensitive. Every time I have an experience, it's very physical. So I already knew this was something to do with the house. It was very bad. I was sick at my stomach. It felt like a giant knot in my stomach. And then this overwhelming sadness. I actually had legitimate tears rolling down my face. Like, I couldn't. It was just an enormous amount of sadness. And I had to pull over twice on the road, and the home is only like 5 minutes down the road. But eventually I get to the home, and like I said, it's a very quaint little cute home. It was an older brick home. They had redone the front very well. They had done the fencing very well. It was just a beautiful place, but it didn't feel that way. It felt so heavy and so, so sad. As soon as I parked, I did not want to go in. Like, I didn't want to get out of my car. I didn't want to step foot on the ground. I didn't want to drive onto the parking space. I didn't want to get in the driveway. I didn't want to go anywhere near it, but I did. And my sister, you know, she kind of met me outside when she saw me pull up, and she immediately saw my face and was like, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Joe, you've got to tell me what happened in this house. Something happened in this house." And she was just kind of like, for a second, and then she was like, "Well, I know an older lady owned this before. It was sold in an estate, so I'm assuming she passed. Maybe she passed in the house." And I was like, okay, maybe she passed in the house. Maybe it was something, sadness in her family. I don't know. But this was my sister's first home. I'm supposed to be happy for her. I was trying to get through it. And we get our stuff out of my car. We start going onto the porch. The second that I hit the back porch, because we were going in through the back, the second time my feet stepped onto the porch, immediately got bombarded again by this overwhelming sadness. I actually tripped from it and fell because it was just, it was so much. It was so much. And, you know, my sister's happy and excited, and I'm just looking at her, and I keep saying, you know, You have to be careful here. You have to be careful here. I don't know what's going on, but you've got to be in. I didn't know what I was talking about. I just knew something. I barreled through this, and I didn't go inside. I couldn't. I told her I was sick. Wasn't feeling good. You know, maybe this was just me not feeling well. And I left it at that. I did eventually go back into the house once, and that was a terrible experience. It was like blackness everywhere. Even though the home is open, there's, you know, all these open windows, and but it just felt bad, really bad. Fast forward to, I don't know, within a year of my sister living in that house, and every person that lived in the house was affected in some way. my sister ended up, who was previously super healthy and happy, she ended up trying to commit suicide in the house. She has no recollection or memory of the act. She has no idea how it happened. And after that incident, you know, she was in the hospital for a while recovering, and she decided to sell the home. Well, she's in the hospital. She was not going back there. The other girls that were there, a couple of them became drug addicts. And these were, you know, college-age, smart, independent, you know, not predisposed to that sort of thing type girls. And all of them had some sort of significant life damage that happened during that house while living there. And looking back, I wish I had done more to get her out of that. And she's, you know, it's years later, she's happy. And she will still tell you to this day, she has no recollection of really anything in the house. She doesn't remember a good single time in the house. She doesn't remember taking her life, trying to take her life. She doesn't remember, it's just very clouded. All of her memories of while being in that house are very, very clouded. And when she sold the house, you know, she did tell people that, the listing agent, she said, listen, you know, this is what happened here. You need to know. But, you know, she did end up selling the house anyway. But yeah, that's my story. I just kind of wanted to tell you guys and see kind of what your thoughts were. I don't know the history of that place. I don't know the history of the church around it. It was an older church. But they had redone a lot, and the town this was a college town in the south. It does have a little bit of history, so it's possible that maybe this was an area that had just something really bad happen at one point, and it's in the land. I don't know. But yeah, thank you for listening. I hope you guys can give me your opinion, and thank you.
I'm Elvis in the morning, 66 WNBC.
That's how we used to do it in radio. Like when it was done, it's like if you have nothing, jingle out.
It's like it's happy.
totally out there.
That was like the creepiest story ever.
Yeah. Yes.
And then I got so super cheered up by that jingle.
Exactly.
No, but it was so creepy. And like, you know, the fact she couldn't even bring herself to go in it. Mm-hmm. And then how do you once somebody's bought a house, do you want to be the one to say like, yeah, I can't go in your house? You know?
Exactly.
So you would make up an excuse and be like, I'm not feeling very good.
I'm just keeping the mood going, happy.
Oh, yeah. Because now I feel even better after a little Steve Winwood.
Exactly.
But that's just some creepy shit. And then the fact that all of the girls who lived there ended up having something really tragic happen to them. Mm-hmm. Each of them.
That shit creeps me out.
Remember stuff.
Yeah. It seems like there was something there.
She has the feeling the church is involved. And I think that she's got to go with the gut. Like, my guess is because she feels that so strongly that there is something to that.
No, I would not be surprised at all.
And if it's in the South, my guess is the church could have been there for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be old property or something happened on that property and then they built on top of it.
Like, what do you think happened on that property?
I don't know, like, you know, somebody got killed in a horrible death. And then Jason showed up.
Not Jason! Harper, it's just me.
Daddy?
No.
What's going on? Not Daddy.
Oh, God.
It is Jason.
Jason, yeah. Good thing, you know, it's funny. This studio does not have There's no speakers in here. Everything is on headphones. I have no external speakers, which is, I mean, I guess if I unplug things on some of the laptops, it would play. But yeah, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, you don't need any.
You don't. But I was thinking if I had that, I could talk through that and then really like make it creepy sounding and, you know, scare my child for a few moments. And then she'd run in here and go, okay, my turn.
I was going to say, dang, you need to fix that so you can scare the shit out of your child more frequently.
Oh, she'd probably use it far more than I would, and it totally would screw with me. I got a creepy, weird story I want to talk about with my dog, and we'll do that on tomorrow's episode of the program, because I swear to God, this is like David Copperfield shit he's doing.
I want to hear this story. All you've done to me is just tease me about this story.
We're going to talk about it on tomorrow's episode. The episode after tomorrow's episode and the third odd week from there even numbered year that has the sign of the dog in.
And it doesn't matter, Carol, that you're coming to town. I still won't tell you in person.
Not going
to
share. But tomorrow, creepy dog story from me.
And it's not, is it your buddy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because we each have a buddy, so this is not a story about my dog.
This is my buddy. My buddy and me.
My dog is extremely old.
Yep.
I swear, I changed my dang profile picture on Facebook just of a different picture of me and my dog, because it's always me and my dog.
Yeah.
And I can't do that because all these people freak out, and they're like, did your dog die? And
I'm
like,
yeah.
You change your profile picture.
Well, and do it even more. Just like change your profile pic and then also put the words in memoriam, like right.
Right? It's like, no, I just am getting everybody ready, I guess. But it's like, I can't even change my picture of me and Buddy to a different picture of me and Buddy without answering 100 different messages.
Yeah.
So I just leave it the same one.
Well, that's good. Buddy has a fan base and that's pretty cool.
He really does.
He does. He does. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Ghost dog story tomorrow or something. I don't know what the hell he's going to. He's not dead. I'll tell you that much. Be sure to check out our EPP episodes, all the advanced ones, all of the bonus ones, everything there for you, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.